WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 6 of Pulse of the Nation. Mainstream media and the polls will tell you right now that the presidential race is more or less tied. And if you understand anything about the Electoral College, right now the Electoral College is biased in favor of Republicans. So given a tied popular vote, you think, you know, with Biden being an unpopular president, the economy, you know, not being too good for a lot of Americans right now, at least that's how most Americans perceive it, and you know, the fact that Donald Trump, despite everything, is still one of the stronger Republican nominees that could occur, then that might lead you to believe, as some analysts have now started to say, that Donald Trump is now the favorite to win this presidential election. Brent Tannehill, I'm looking at you. Brent Tannehill, you are completely wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, this isn't just Brent Tannehill. This is more like mainstream media and press in general. Because I think that a lot of people, a lot of political analysts as well, are essentially undercounting and underrating Joe Biden's chances to have a decisive victory in 2024. And let me explain why. So the first thing is that, given that this is going to be a Biden versus Trump rematch, that Joe Biden now has an incumbency advantage that he did not have in 2020. Incumbency bias is a very real thing. People, you know, don't want to exactly vote for change, and they'll essentially support the incumbent willy-nilly. And because you are the incumbent, you have a certain level of electoral boost. Depends based on the candidate, but it is still a very real thing that has happened in elections. It's part of the reason why Donald Trump was so close to winning in 2020 to begin with. It's part of the reason why Barack Obama was able to get a 2012 re-election victory. George W. Bush experienced this in 2004. Bill Clinton in 1996. So you have this incumbency advantage, and it is a real thing that Joe Biden is going to be able to take advantage of. It was working against him in 2020. Now it's working for him in 2024. The second thing is Donald Trump. And I could go on for probably 5 hours about everything that is going to negatively affect Donald Trump's candidacy. For one, everybody talks about Joe Biden being 80 years old. Well, Donald Trump is 77. He's only 3 years younger than Joe Biden. And all reports indicate that Donald Trump lives a less healthy lifestyle than the current president does at this time. You know, I don't think eating Big Macs and Diet Cokes every day are going to lead to someone having a healthy diet, for example. Don't know what, you know, the current president's diet is, but I'm just giving that as an example. You know, and given that, there are concerns, as with Joe Biden, that Donald Trump could suffer a health scare due to a health problem. To remember, he did suffer a pretty severe case of COVID back in 2020. And it's something a lot of people forget, like the federal government was essentially trying all these experimental injections on Donald Trump to ensure that they didn't have to go down the presidential line of succession, to try to make sure that Donald Trump did not die from COVID. So with Donald Trump having suffered that case, you have to wonder, maybe his body is weaker than what it would be had he not got COVID. That is something you have to consider as well. In addition to, well, everything, really, everything that will, from, you know, the, well, let's go down one by one, the 91 or so criminal charges that Donald Trump is facing in 4 separate jurisdictions. Ugh, Lord. You got your 2 cases by Jack Smith, the documents thing at Mar-a-Lago, and the election subversion thing on the federal level. You have the Fannie Willis case out of Georgia which regards the, well, the more election subversion stuff, and probably the most serious ones of the bunch, along with Jack Smith's election subversion stuff. I mean, I say most serious. I mean, the documents case has to do with nuclear secrets. That's about as serious as you can get. And the other one, I think, relates to falsifying documents and, you know, Stormy Daniels case and whatnot, which is a New York state jurisdiction. So you have that to consider as well, the fact that a president who might be convicted of several crimes, several felonies at that point, could potentially be, and who is going to be under active investigation for a bunch of other felonies, is likely going to be the GOP nominee for president, and as such, that will give Joe Biden another advantage, because independent voters, for as squeamish as they might be about Biden's age or his policies, are also going to be very squeamish on voting for someone who they think is a criminal. And this will essentially go down as a theory that I've been working around for the past few months, essentially that people may not like Joe Biden, but they absolutely despise Donald Trump. And that is something that is going to work for Joe Biden's advantage, because if this becomes an election where you talk about the lesser of two evils, as 2016 was, and people thought Trump was the lesser of two evils, people are going to think Biden is the lesser of two evils, because they didn't know what they were getting with Donald Trump in 2016. Nobody in America did. He is the outsider. He was the wild card. Now we know what both candidates pertain and what they pertain to, because they are or have both been president. We know what their administrations are like. We know what their administrations are going to be like. So Donald Trump doesn't have that outsider thing amongst more moderate independents. He still has it with this base, don't get me wrong, and that is something that will be a strength of Donald Trump's, but that's one of his only few strengths. I mean, I will just mention the Trump presidency for the third thing about Donald Trump, but that list probably goes down probably 200 feet with everything that happened in the Trump administration. You know, from the, you know, the two impeachments to Kushner and Ivanka to, you know, Democrats essentially allege or believe that Trump might have been trying to sell nuclear secrets to the Saudis and things of that nature, plus the whole, you know, randomly killing Iran's top general at the beginning of 2020 is also something to consider as well. But essentially everything that Donald Trump has done for the past 6 years, ever since he, well, past 8 years actually, ever since he went down that escalator at Trump Tower. Oh, did he go up an escalator? I don't know. It was something with an escalator where he announced, I believe it was like in 2015 or something like that. So you have the thing of Donald Trump being not a very good Republican candidate for president. But the fact is, he's probably better than a lot of the other ones out there. Because if the Republicans do nominate Ron DeSantis, and like the 0.001% chance that happens, then even the polls have indicated, now even though the polls indicate a tied race between Biden and Trump, they have Biden beating Ron DeSantis pretty comfortably, I might add. So, yeah. So the fact that Donald Trump is one of the stronger GOP candidates for president puts Biden in a pretty good spot, I would say. And the third thing I'm going to talk about, and this is the one I'm going to spend the most time on, and this is the one I wanted to bring focus to, is a thing I was talking about on Friday and on Saturday, is special elections. So this will get into really, really, really nerdy stuff. So essentially what happens is that before, you know, general elections, there are always special elections, like certain, like, House seats or Senate seats or something like that. And these are mostly state legislative seats. And what has happened is that the average of the special election performances and overperformances from either the mean partisan base and mean partisan lean or whatever, that has been accurate since the 1989-1990 cycle. And that has been a really good indicator of the national environment, with the exception of the 97-98 cycle. There's only one time where special elections were not accurate predictors of the national environment. In that case, Republicans had a 12-point or so overperformance in the national environment, ended up being neutral in 1998. So special elections were way, 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 way off by 12 points. But, you know, for the past two or three decades, depending on where you want to start off at, if you want to start off at 89-90 or if you want to start off at 99-2000, then special elections and the average of the special election results have been really important in determining what the national environment is going to be. Now, you know, you can't overanalyze any special election, and that is true. Like, any random special election in, say, like, New Hampshire or Nevada or Oregon or Florida or anything of that nature. One random special election in some random state legislative seat anywhere in the country, that's not going to be a perfect indicator of national trends, not even close to it. You know, ostensibly, that's just a local race, a local and state and some national issues, yes, but it's more of a local race. But you average those together. Like, you take one special election, now take like 30, and then take like 60 or 70 special elections. And potentially 80, depending on how many special elections there are. That does change from cycle to cycle. And then you start to get this average, which is really accurate, again, at predicting the national environment. Has been for the past two decades plus. And so that is not something that can be ignored. So let me just go ahead and point some things out in the more recent election cycle. So in 2018, it was the blue wave cycle, I think we all know. Democrats really, really did overperform as a result of backlash against Donald Trump. And so your average swing, according to Nathaniel Rakich of 538, I'm getting it from a spreadsheet, which I will link on the Instagram post of the podcast and stuff like that. So the average swing in 2018, there's average and there's median swing. I'll use average swing for this. So the average special election overperformance from the weighted partisan lean. So what 538 does is essentially they'll take three quarters of, so they do a model, the regression, which is essentially they weight the previous two presidential elections, with the most recent one getting a three quarters weight and the election before that getting a one quarter weight. So in 2018, when you were doing three quarters 2016, one quarter 2012, the overperformance of the weighted partisan lean was Democrats by 11 points. And that turned out to be an environment where Democrats won by 8 points. So a blue wave, for sure, I mean, it did overestimate Democrats by a few points, but still, a blue wave it was. Then you go to 2020 and those special elections, and what you ended up getting was, you're still using 2016 and 2012 weights because this is a presidential cycle, and you had an average swing of Democrats by 4 points. And what was the national popular vote again in 2020? Yeah, Biden won the national popular vote by 4.5 points. So it was incredibly accurate in 2020. And again, Joe Biden won the popular vote by just enough to win the Electoral College. And Democrats got perhaps the thinnest federal trifecta you're ever likely to see in 2020. Now let's go to 2022, which was a mixed bag. And it really wasn't too much of a national environment to begin with. You had the South and the states like California and New York experiencing a red wave election cycle. And then you had like states like Colorado, and you had regions like the Midwest, in the Great Lakes region specifically, which had a blue wave. And Washington also had kind of a blue wave as well, I think. So, I mean, it was 2022 is a very, very weird election. However, when you talk about the average of special election overperformances from 2021 to 2022, that averaged out to an average swing Democrats by half a percentage point. And the national environment turned out to be sort of like an R by 2 or something about that line. So again, even environment. So if special elections predict an even environment, it's going to be an even environment. So now let's go to 2024. And I did mention the recent New Hampshire and Pennsylvania ones that had happened. But just to give you some of the numbers here. So So the Rockingham House District 01 in New Hampshire. Sure. And that is an R by 6 district, according to 538 using the weighted partisan lean. Again, Donald Trump won this district by 0.4 of a percentage point. Mitt Romney won it by 8.2%. And it was, or Donald Trump actually won it by 8.2% in 2016. Mitt Romney probably won this by a lot more in 2012. But you take this district, which is a Republican-leaning district, R by 6 or so, and by the way, with the weighted partisan lean, they also take state elections into account as well. So like Chris Sununu's landslide victories in 2022, for example, that will be put in the weighted partisan lean. So it averages out an R by 6 district. So this is a district that leans to the right of the nation by 6 points, and that is enough for it to be narrowly Trump won. The Democrat in this district ended up winning by 12 points, which averages to about an 18-point Democratic overperformance. And the Pittsburgh area won, House District 21 in Pennsylvania. You know, this is a district which averages out to about being 17 points to the left of the nation due to the weighted partisan lean. And Democrats won that district by 31 points. So, you know, obviously decimals in, so it's about a 13, 14-point overperformance. So that raises the average swing that Democrats have been getting to an 11-point average swing, which, let me tell y'all, what would that mean should Democrats have like a D by 11 environment or something of that nature? Because this is essentially the same to what we saw in 2018. The average swing, yeah, it is the same right now. And that ended up being a D by 8 environment. So if it's D by 11, if the national environment is that by 2024, what does that mean? Not only does that mean that Joe Biden comfortably wins a presidency, he wins it in a blowout. Not only does that mean, obviously, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, yada, yada, yada. They all go blue. Not only did they go blue, North Carolina goes blue. Not only that, Texas also goes blue in this environment. Florida is a toss-up. That state could also go blue. If that state goes blue, you're approaching 400 electoral votes. States like Iowa and Ohio and Alaska, Kansas are really close. You know, Alaska and Kansas are two states that Republicans expect to hold easily. So you take the leftward trends of the latter two states and take it into this ultra-blue hypothetical environment, suddenly those states are really close. Not only that, but Democrats will have won the House long ago, and this also means that Democrats would probably retain a trifecta in the Senate. Yes, Joe Manchin loses, but you replace him from West Virginia with Colin Allred of Texas, because that means Colin Allred will have beaten Ted Cruz in Texas. If Joe Biden's winning Texas, Colin Allred is most likely winning Texas as well. Not only that, but likely both Sherrod Brown of Ohio and John Tester of Montana survive. And oh yeah, Montana's probably within 10 points in this situation, this scenario as well. If you're swinging the nation 6.5 points to the left of where it was in 2020. So essentially a total Republican wipeout, or even South Carolina is within single digits, potentially Indiana as well. It becomes a total disaster for the Republican Party. Utah becomes a lot closer than the Republicans would have wanted to hear. Maybe somewhere close to what Evan McMullen, the independent candidate, did against Mike Lee in 2022. I think McMullen only lost by 11 points or so. A really impressive performance for a non-Republican candidate in Utah, which was until recently one of the most reliably Republican states in the country. And not only do you have this situation, I want to talk about something else. Because ever since January 31st, in the special elections, all the special elections across the country that have occurred since then, do you want to know how many special elections did Republicans overperform the weighted partisan lean in? How many special elections did they overperform in? Two since January 31st. We are in late September. That is the length of a pregnancy almost. almost a full pregnancy and two special election overperformances. If you want to know what those were the 148th House District in Connecticut, which Connecticut always has a reputation for, you know, down-ballot Republican ticket splitting, and, of course, the 22nd Assembly District in New York, which has a high Orthodox Jewish population, is already trending pretty heavily towards the right as well. Well, it, you know, Biden won it by 14 or so points. Sam Berger won it by, you know, 11 or so points. And you also have, you know, the Hispanic, Latino voters, the Asian voters didn't turn out whatsoever in that district as well. Like, the north of that district really swung to the right, areas like Whitestone, areas like that. So you have that going on as well. That's it. Those are the only two special elections where the Republicans have overperformed the weighted partisan lean. In every single other one, Democrats have overperformed, and these aren't tiny overperformances. The tiniest overperformance was 3 points. Now, these overperformances are, you know, you're getting 29, 19, 37, 13, 29, 13, 18, 11, 9, 32, 9, 7, 20, 17, and 3, 7, 15, 18, 19, 20, 15, 18, and 13-point overperformances. These are mostly double-digit overperformances over the weighted partisan lean. And you could say, well, you know, college-educated voters, they're shifting towards the Democrats, and college-educated voters are some of those highest propensity voters. Therefore, you could expect Democrats to overperform in special elections across the board. Well, that argument kind of dies when you realize where these gains are coming from. They're not coming from turnout. Like, in House District 21, which is in the Pittsburgh area, Republican-leaning precincts did turn out at higher clips than Democratic-leaning precincts. But the problem is, and it was the same problem in 2022, it's persuasion. And my voice is going out because of this, but I'll stay with y'all as long as I can, although the persuasion effect is going to stay on for longer. And it's because of Dobbs. It's because of that Supreme Court case which took away Roe versus Wade. It's abortion politics. And Democrats have been winning on the abortion issue ever since Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization came out. Ever since that ruling came out, ever since it was leaked a few months before that the Supreme Court was looking to end Roe versus Wade in this case, that, you know, Justice Sam Alito had a draft opinion, ultimately didn't end up being the opinion, but still the effect is pretty much the same. And now, you have this effect where, you know, usually Republican voters are starting to defect to the Democratic Party. And it's not just at the federal level, it's going all the way down to the state legislative level, and probably the city council level too, if you want to get to even the local levels. Local elections aren't really included in special election models for a variety of reasons, but still, the effect is the same. Like, and it's not just the abortion issue, it's also the culture wars more broadly that are broadly unpopular with the American public. Things like, you know, the book bans, you know, legislation against public queer and LGBTQ plus existence. You know, you also have, especially, you know, the Republicans leaning into the war on trans people, which that is also broadly unpopular, if for the fact that not a lot of American voters actually have trans issues as a number one issue to begin with. And also, may we not forget January 6, 2021? That is also weighing on the minds of American voters. And we saw in 2022, election deniers and election denialism suffered pretty heavy defeats and underperformances in 2022 compared to the nominal Republican result, even in Alabama. Our Secretary of State, Wes Allen, he ran against Wendell Major, and he underperformed not just Gay Ivey, but also Katie Britt and pretty much every single other statewide Alabama Republican because of his election denialist views. And it's not too surprising because you see this happening. We've seen this happening for over a year now, ever since Dobbs was overturned, ever since, you know, January 6th and stuff like that, where Republicans have been punished because the American public, the majority of the American public, views that party as being extreme, being not moderate, being not common sense. And that's the thing here is that, you know, which party does the broader public view as more common sense? And the polls will tell you, well, see, polls will say, oh, the public nearly sees the Democrats as more extreme. But the special election is still a different story entirely. If the public saw Democrats as more extreme, Democrats would not be overperforming special elections by an average of 11 points. That's just pretty much the bottom line here. So something is going on. And I bring this up now because the next special elections that we're going to get, they're going to be in November. They're going to be, I believe, on November 7th or whenever the general elections are for 2023. There's a bunch of elections going on in 2023 that we will get to as we get closer or start covering all that, you know, next month in October. But, you know, now you are at a pace. Or because there are no more special elections until November 7th, you're going to have a period from January 31st to November 7th where the Republicans only outperform the weighted partisan lead in two special elections. They didn't even have this abysmal of a run in 2018. In fact, it wasn't even close to this bad of a run in 2018. Yeah, the average is the same, but the Republicans have been underperforming in special election after special election after special election in 2023. And that's something that the polls aren't picking up. Like, there is a huge dichotomy between what the polling is telling the American public and what special elections are telling. And the mainstream media and everybody is going to focus on the polls because they're the most readily available. They're the ones that aren't really just for nerds like myself and, like, potentially some of the people who are watching this. I say potentially. But people are going to gravitate towards polls because, you know, they're easier to read than, you know, okay, take this average of this random special election in Kentucky and then add the special election to another special election in Georgia, then another special election in New York, and you get the point. But again, these special elections are a pretty decent barometer of where the country is shifting. The special elections are currently around 5.5 points to the left of where the nation was in 2020. Now, over the past few elections, the special elections have been about 2 to 3 points to the left of the House vote. That's calculated by a split ticket. And that's something you have to consider in this as well. And you also have to consider the fact that Democrats, after Dobbs, there were 5 congressional races in 2022. And I think there were 5 special elections. I think most of them were congressional races. Let me go ahead and look it up right now. And so, yeah, you had 5. You have 5 congressional races. And in every single one of them, Democrats had huge overperformances, flipping Alaska in the process with Representative Mary Peltola. And you had these big overperformances, 11-point overperformance, another 11-point overperformance, 18, 7, 11. And then those congressional results didn't exactly pan out. It crashed with the inflation and economy and turned into an even, pretty much an even slightly GOP-leaning environment in 2022. But you're just looking at congressional elections. You're not taking into account state legislative elections, which were a lot more Republican-leaning even around that time. I will say, you had, you know, even Washington, I mean, obviously Washington's Secretary of State, there was another moderate independent running, but the Republicans outperformed the weighted partisan lean of Washington by 6 points, getting it to a single-digit loss, a 9-point loss or so for them in that primary. Obviously, it went to a runoff. But still, like, you have all these special elections which tell you, okay, Democrats are outperforming, and compared to after Dobbs, that was just like 4 or 5 different elections. We're talking about several dozen, like at least 30 at this point, in terms of special elections. And I'll just tell y'all, like, I'll tell y'all this. Like, you could say, okay, maybe a couple of months is a fluke, but 8 to 9 months, that's a trend. And that's something I don't think people can ignore. Like, you can't ignore the possibility that Joe Biden in 2025 is going to have a trifecta at 81 years of age. Just like, you know, the media is telling Democrats, you can't ignore the possibility that Donald Trump is going to have a trifecta at like 78 years of age, or whatever age he'll be when he takes the oath of office. If he wins, of course, if he wins in 2024. But what I'm saying here is that the polls are showing that right now that Donald Trump would win at the election itself today. But the average of the special elections is telling us that it's going to be a Democratic wave election. And I don't know if Joe Biden is going to be a drag on the Democratic ticket or if the polls are just wrong. And there's a possibility that the polls are wrong. They were wrong in 2016. It was more so the pundits that were wrong than the polls in 2016, although the polls were pretty wrong. And the polls were extremely wrong in 2020, which they pointed to a pre-Democratic wave cycle, and that did not happen in 2020. Donald Trump almost won. Almost. He didn't win, but it was close. So and even in 2012, these early polls that showed Mitt Romney beating Barack Obama, that didn't happen, did it? And also, may I remind you that polls this far out, we are about 13 and a half months away from the presidential election. Polls this far out are more useless than the Chicago Bears are right now. That should probably tell you something how useless they are. In fact, they're even more useless than the Arizona Cardinals. How useless do you have to be worse than the Cardinals? That is what early presidential polling is right now. Do not pay attention to presidential polling until like May, when the American public finally bakes in the fact that it's going to be Biden versus Trump. It's been obvious to me, at least, that it's going to be Biden versus Trump for months now. But, you know, you have to factor in the possibility that one of the two candidates might die, or both candidates might die. That is still a possibility. But what is also a possibility is that the range of potential election results are extremely plausible. It's basically almost everything. It's possible Donald Trump gets a trifecta, and it's also plausible that Joe Biden gets a trifecta, an even stronger trifecta than he had in 2021, I might add. So, and I say 2021 because the Democrats didn't get the federal trifecta until they won the 2 Senate specials in Georgia the day before the insurrection. So, there you go. I'll be talking a lot more about Georgia the next year and a half or so. But, yeah, again, you have to take these things into account. You have to take the special elections into account because if you don't, you might miss an election result that a lot of people probably weren't expecting, and that mainstream media is not talking about. And so, but they need to be talked about because the possibility exists, because the Special Elections Index, which has been extremely accurate for over 2 decades, and for over 3 if you want to take it back to the 1990 cycle, they're showing a Democratic wave. And so all I'm saying here is that there is a very plausible case for Joe Biden to get a very decisive 2024 victory, and the same goes for the Democratic Party at large. But the mainstream media isn't talking about it because And I'm going to get a little bit editorial here and a little bit, you know, terrible English grammatical pronunciations, but that's the point. But the mainstream media is not talking about it because it's not going to help ratings. Because drama, closeness, competitiveness, that drives ratings. Tied polls, that will drive up ratings. But Democratic wave cycles do not drive up ratings. Because it is much easier to get readership from Democrats if you try to make them doom about the 2024 election cycle, or any election cycle to begin with, than if you are when you're telling them, hey, what the special elections are showing right now is that your party's going to have a wave election. And again, it's the fear clicks. You're trying to get clicks and profits and ratings and that sort of stuff. And I say Democrats because the vast majority of New York Times readership, or even Wall Street Journal, especially Washington Post, the majority of the readerships are going to be Democrats. And so the media executives are trying to figure out how to get profits up. And so, you know, you're not going to talk about the special elections because that doesn't suit the business model. Even though the special elections are an incredibly important component of what is going on across the nation. So I'm going to end it with this. The November elections in 2023 should give us a lot clearer of an indication of what the national environment is going to be. It should answer a lot of questions. There will still be some questions, of course, but it should answer a lot of questions about where the nation is at and what the nation is feeling. Well, and it scattered election results mostly in, you know, the eastern half of the United States, so you also have that caveat to add to the cycle. But in 2021, the Virginia New Jersey gubernatorial election showed us that at that point it was going to be a red wave cycle. And in the South, in New York, and in California, and to a lesser extent in Virginia, it was a red wave. But if these state legislative election results come back and they show Democratic overperformances up and down the ballot, then you really do have to start baking in the possibility that the Democratic Party might be in for a good 2024. And even still, again, 13 and a half months away from the election means there are about 1,000 news stories that could break, that could alter the complexity and the complexion of the presidential race. You have the UAW strike, which people are already saying might further complicate the presidential election. As of recording, there, as I said before, there are debates over whether President Joe Biden or some other high-ranking White House official should go to the picket line and stand with striking UAW workers, as Donald Trump is set to make a stadium speech in Detroit or whatever. So you have a bunch of news stories that can break. Remember, in 2021, we were still about, 7 months out from Dobbs? 7 or 8 months out from that Dobbs decision coming out. I think we're 5 months or so from the leak. So yeah, things can change on a whim in politics. But what I'm saying right now is that there's a very clear case for Joe Biden to have a huge, huge victory in 2024. You just gotta know where to find it. That's it for Season 2, Episode 6. I'll see you all next week for another news flash, and then whatever comes after that, because again, in politics, a week is everything.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.